This episode of Cognitive Dissonance is brought to you by our patrons. You fucking rock.
Hey, guys. About the whole having your dick split in two, it was profiled in a book called Modern Primitives, put out by an organization called Research. The author of the book used the pseudonym Vicky Vale, if I'm not mistaken. Anyways, the photograph, which showed somebody who had their dick split, the caption to that photograph always stuck in my mind because it said, "The decision to have my penis split in half was a deeply personal one." Who the fuck is going to put it to a vote to have their dick split down the middle? And, you know, mind you, this was before the internet, before, so you couldn't easily put out a big poll. But seriously, I mean, who the fuck is going to tell people, "Hey, I have this idea about having my dick split down the middle. What do you think?" Fucking nobody, man. Not even Eli would do shit like that.
Hi, guys. This is Danny. I'm calling from Indiana. I'm born and raised here. You know, I'm getting really tired of seeing my shit all over my home state. It really breaks my heart. It's so fucking true. Please save me. Bye. Bye.
Be advised that this show is not for children, the faint of heart, or the easily offended. The explicit tag is there for a reason.
Recording live from Glory Hole Studios in Chicago, this is Cognitive Dissonance. Every episode we blast anyone who gets in our way. We bring critical thinking, skepticism, and irreverence to any topic that makes the news, makes it big, or makes us mad. It's skeptical, it's political, and there is no welcome mat. This is episode 426. Of Cognitive Dissonance. And Cecil, this is it's probably our last episode where we're in the press pool. It's possible we're going to get kicked out.
It's a possibility.
You never know.
It's a possibility.
It's,
do you have to like blow somebody to stay in the press pool? Is that how that works?
I don't know.
Blow someone in the pool to stay in the press
pool? I think that's just how you get a $130,000 bonus. I'm not 100. The rules.
Let's just say that that's compensated and not a bonus. Can we just say that? That seems. Because
I think
there's no bonus. There's no bonus.
There's no sexual interaction with Trump that one would describe as a bonus, right? Unless he has a heart attack in foreplay.
Yeah, exactly.
Because even if it's mid-coitus, you'd be like,
at the end of it, you put him in a sausage grinder or something. I mean that in the best possible way. I don't mean in the sense.
A sausage grinder of love.
Yeah, of love and hugging. That's what I mean.
It's a hugging grinder. Yeah, like they have. That's
they
a thing.
They kicked that lady out.
They did. So just today, it's so funny. It didn't even make our show notes because the world gets crazier by the moment.
Yeah.
And so I was literally checking the news after I got done working out before driving here. I had like 6 minutes.
Right.
And in that 6 minutes, I find a story that was not available this morning when I was reading the news. And that is a CNN reporter was kicked out of a basically like a press conference that happened in the Rose Garden. She was disinvited. And she was disinvited, they said, because she was being rude. But she wasn't being rude. She was just asking questions that the administration didn't like. Yeah. And
that's
she even says, she's like, it's not, if you're uncomfortable with a question, that's not disrespect.
Yeah.
And the White House was like, look, we believe in the freedom of the press. But not for
some
you.
People.
Yeah. But only the press we like.
But only when I pull it out of the hat and it's not a practice.
Yeah. No. It's fucking crazy. Yeah. Like, and I know that people are gonna say, like, oh, there's so many other things to get worried about. And you know what? Yeah. But like, this is one like we should be worried about. Anything that erodes the freedom of the fucking press, anything that erodes
the watchdog of democracy. The Fourth Estate is under direct attack by the executive branch.
It's been, though, since the very beginning of this. And it's working. Because,
but now we're just watching it, like, openly.
Yeah. There's this thing that's happening where people are, like, making it seem as if these people are enemies of the state. Like, they are, like, literal enemies of the state. And, you know, you even have Trump who says, he tweeted out, he called the media the enemy of the state. I mean, that's what he called it.
Well, only using those exact words. Only those using exact those exact words. Can you fucking imagine if Obama had done this?
Well, what were we saying earlier that happened when we were talking about it? And we were like, could you imagine if Obama did that? Like, and it's all these things. It's everything, every week.
And I know that, like, to some degree, that's like a... Like that
it's whataboutism in some ways.
And but it is, but it's also not. It's relevant in the sense that, like, if we cared, if we would have been worried when it happened with the other guy, then we should be equally worried now, right? Yeah. And I think that this is something we should all agree. Doesn't matter what side of any issue. This is not about issues. The thing about talking about this is, like, this is not a Republican-Democrat thing. Like, this is just a moment where we should say, like, holy shit, it doesn't make any difference what party this guy is aligned with. This behavior has nothing to do with a set of principles or policies.
Yeah.
This is just an erosion of our freedoms. We are less, like, I want to be really clear, like, we are less free as citizens when we don't have access to information and to questioning about our democratically elected officials. That makes us objectively less free. This is an erosion of our individual and social freedoms.
Yeah, yeah.
We should be really worried about that.
Yeah.
I don't understand how everybody's not like, what the fucking what?
I think a lot of people are, though. And I think if you scroll through on Twitter, you'll see 2 dozen things that you didn't even catch in the news that you're just, like, appalled by, but people are at least talking about. There's all these little tiny things that happen throughout the day, and they're so numerous at this point that you forget about them. You forget that things happen because they happen at such a rapid rate, and each level is more appalling than the next.
Can I ask, do you think that this is a strategic attempt to overload the system?
No, I think that's putting, that's putting a brain in something I don't think it has. I think that's a plan behind something that I don't think that doesn't sound right to me. And the reason why I say that is because 10 years ago, I can't imagine this flying. I can't imagine 10 years ago when Obama was doing any of this stuff. Could you imagine if he would have came in and did half the things that President Trump did? And then, you know, like, and then he just kept on overloading the system. It would have never got that far.
Do you think it would not have overloaded the system?
Well, no, it would have never got that far. It would have stopped because someone would have stopped it. Well, somehow they would have stopped it. There would have been someone who said, you're not fit for office. We're going to run this thing that makes it so you're not fit for office. We're going to do this, you know, something in some way to stop you from being president.
One of the worries that occurs to me is that, like,
I wish we had no confidence. By the way, I wish we had just had a no confidence vote that the people could call. I just wish that we had something like that here in the States. I know they have it in other countries where you can just be like, fuck that, no confidence. Let's see what happens. And if it's like a popular vote thing, I would love to see a no confidence vote.
Yeah.
But I
would too.
Yeah, but I feel like...
But could you have a no confidence vote and have an electoral college? Because
I don't think you can.
Yeah.
I don't know if you can either. And I also wonder too, our system would find some way to abuse it. Like our system is constantly abusing these things. Like look at what happened with the way in which they abused the Supreme Court. When it was supposed to be Garland and it turned out to be Gorsuch because they abused the system to get it to stop. So we would find a way to abuse it. What would happen is someone would get elected that we didn't like, and we would immediately say, well, let's just do a no confidence right now. And they didn't even done anything we could try. You know what I mean? Like there'd be some way for us to find a way to abuse it.
Yeah. So I don't
even feel like we can trust ourselves with that.
Ugh. I feel like Kip in Futurama just, when's that?
Yeah.
So here, I tend to agree with you that like, that this overloading is not strategic or intentional. But the thing that like, one of the many things that worries me is that somebody is going to notice that this worked. And then this will become a strategic, that this will become used strategically.
Someone knows that it worked once.
And then they're going to say, like,
I just don't see it working with a Democrat.
But maybe it doesn't work with a Democrat. Maybe it works with an ex-Republican. Maybe overloading the people, maybe overloading the citizenry on 1,000 small atrocities with the recognition that that lets you move forward the medium-sized shit, right? Because really, like, I get this strong feeling that, like, where the real evil shit happens, or the real, I don't want to say evil shit, but, like, where the real meat is not in grand, giant gestures, right? Everybody watches that. And it's in the medium-sized shit that squeaks through that nobody notices, because, as you've pointed out, everyone's paying attention
to other shit, right?
So, like, if you recognize that, like, you can strategically create citizen fatigue, for lack of a better term, will somebody not say, you know, what we need is to create citizen fatigue? Strategically, what we need to do is to disengage the voting populace to the point where they can't hear anymore. And then it won't matter if someone's yelling.
I do believe that atheists are parasites in the sense they're benefiting from everything that religious culture is built in America, but they're doing nothing to add energy into the system.
All right. So let's talk about this story from this story is from
It's Akath Martini.
Akath Marini.
Marilyn.
Akath Marini.
Sure. This place.
Yeah, .com. Atheist prime minister to blame for deadly fires, says Greek bishop, who looks like he shoots lightning out of his fingertips.
Exactly, right? Like, leave it to the country that thought of Zeus to tell us about the Christian God.
This
right?
guy seriously looks like Raiden. he looks like the guy from Big Trouble in Little China.
He does. He looks like...
Kurt Russell has to have a gun
Russell,
battle
Kurt
with
Russell
this guy.
Kurt Russell throws a knife at him. Nice knife, Mr. Burton.
He catches the knife on it.
Big Trouble in Little China is an excellent film.
Movie. I rent it. When I was a kid, my dad never let us rent the same movie more than once. He had a whole thing about it. And I sneak rented that movie twice.
Yep. Good for you.
Yep. Because it's Big Trouble in Little China.
It's fucking awesome.
Are you kidding
it's a
me?
Great movie.
I don't even know what it's about.
It's about nothing.
I have no idea. And I just like smile thinking about it.
Oh, it's awesome.
It's like,
what was the last romance? Time
you saw it? Oh, fuck, dude. When I was eight.
I've seen
eight
that movie
or nine?
Every year I've been alive.
Really?
Yeah, I watch it all the time.
What?
It's a great movie.
It holds up?
I think so. I mean, it's a lot of nostalgia, so I couldn't tell you. I don't
like,
know.
Like, in my mind, that movie sits like with like Romancing the Stone.
Yeah, it's a great movie
which
too.
Which I also haven't seen since I was a kid.
Yeah.
Like, there's like this whole like category of like
adventure.
Big unlikely adventure movie.
Yeah, yeah.
You know? And like, I haven't seen, what happened to those movies? Is that a genre that
turned into
anymore?
Superhero movies? Now they're all superhero movies. Now it's just a constant stream of superhero movies. That's really one of the main sources of our action movies now.
Yeah, it's
almost
true.
All right. Superhero movies.
So that's just where we're at right
it's
now.
Just, that's just what we're doing is
right.
superhero movies. So
I gotcha.
We're going to phase out of that eventually.
I wonder if we'll get back to the unlikely, unexpected hero journey.
Those were a lot of fun.
I liked those.
Those were a hoot.
Jewel of the Nile.
Jewel of the Nile was a
Romancing the Stone.
To,
yeah.
It was a sequel to Romancing the Stone. I'm sure there's a dozen of these that are like,
I just can't think of
unlikely.
Joe versus the Volcano.
I was going to say, there's got to be a Tom Hanks one.
Yeah.
If there isn't, like, there's got to be a Tom Hanks one in there somewhere.
Oh, man. Now I want to watch like old movies.
I really enjoy it. You should check. I will say, I've seen Big Trouble in Little China. I have a lot of that movie memorized.
Really?
Yeah. I think it's hilarious.
I haven't seen it in 30 years.
Oh.
I should watch it.
Yeah, I enjoy it. It might not hold up for you. I know when a lot, I watched Neverending Story and I was like, I would kill myself.
Doesn't even make any sense.
I'd rather ball punch myself for an hour than.
It doesn't even make any sense. The ending of that movie doesn't make any sense.
And to be honest, Labyrinth for me is kind of a thumbs down too.
I didn't see that till I was an adult.
I saw it when I was a kid and I really liked it as a kid. And then I saw it again at the theater here, the Siskel downtown. Uh-huh. And there's nothing like watching David Bowie in unpacked tights with kind of just a little tiny sausage. He's like, no shit. I'm not even kidding. He's in tights that he should not be wearing without some sort of modesty piece there, because all you're seeing is just like, you're like, junk, magic, junk. And he's doing a dance. You're just like, no, I'm not.
You can map the veins.
I'm not watching that. And it's kind of a big screen. So you're just like, there's his penis.
Yeah. You know that shit was intentional.
It's unpleasant.
You know they gave him a modesty piece. He's like, I'm David Bowie. Yeah. I'm
Michael Motion that. Behind who's doing the thing is playing with his balls. This guy, I want to go back to this story though. So this guy basically says that this new, so now there was a big wildfire there.
Oh, the fire is fucking crazy.
74 man. People died.
Yeah. The fire is crazy. Tourist locations gone, yeah. Burnt out everything. Yeah. I mean,
crazy.
And they said the fires may have been started intentionally.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Crazy.
Putin did that? No kidding. Jeez. He says the atheists of Syrizia are the causes of this general disaster. Their atheist draws the wrath of God. Well, maybe it's just a bunch of atheist hipsters with like vapes. Maybe that's what it is. You know, they're just all vaping
out of control.
And then they're like, this is the tornado. And then they're making the giant cloud. Yeah, they're like,
have you seen the vaping competitions?
No. I saw the vaping competition at Skepticon.
At Skepticon where the guy
wouldn't stop vaping at the table and like making like, this one's the ball. And he'd like blow in his hand and make like a little fucking snowball of vape.
The tornado.
And then he made a tornado. And I was just like, that stuff stinks. Please stop doing it.
They have competitive vaping. I've seen this shit on YouTube.
Competitive vaping.
It is.
They have to run a mile first and then vape.
These guys could run a mile.
It's like those people who have to run and then shoot.
Right? The biathlon. it is the best thing ever. Some of the competitions include who can exhale the biggest amount of shit.
No kidding.
Yeah, like cloud, like the most. So it's really just like,
and they just like capture it in a bag or something.
They just like have us blow it out. And then the judge
puts a tape measure up to
way
it.
To blow or whatever. And then like they win a prize or something.
I blew harder than you.
I have giant lungs. Here's a
for
trophy.
Real,
yeah. It's fucking,
wow.
It is the craziest, dumbest fucking thing I have ever seen in my life. It's amazing.
I got to look it up now. Did you find it on YouTube?
Yeah, it's on YouTube. It's crazy. It's just, it is as boring and bizarre and pointless as you think that it is.
Lord, we just ask to be covered with the blood of Jesus. Open hearts, Lord. Open hearts.
This one is fucking hard to read.
This story is fucked up.
This one here. Hold on.
This is a supremely fucked up story. This story is from the Daily Mail. Utah man is accused of stabbing his 10-month-old son on an altar after finding a 666 devil mark on him before dumping his body in a trash bag. So I'll just go ahead and read all the subheadings because that's basically the article.
Sure.
Alex Hidalgo, 37, accused of killing son on Friday while child's mother was out. The woman returned to find Hidalgo sitting on a couch and reading the Bibles. This says sitting on a coach.
Yeah, it does say sitting on a coach.
But I'm going to guess that's a misprint.
He's got his old-timey stagecoach gear on.
I was picturing like a football coach. Oh, like
he's sitting on not a coach,
that
Dave.
Dave Daubenmeyer. Oh, I'm waiting for the butt stuff to happen. I'm waiting for the butt stuff.
Oh, gosh.
He told her he had killed a child on a homemade altar after finding a mark on the body.
Do you get a professional altar instead of a homemade altar?
I saw that same thing and I thought like, you know, it's the little touches. Yeah.
It is.
You know,
you go to IKEA, you're trying to put the altar together and you can't get the fucking organ connected to the clip-in or whatever.
You know, like anybody can just go out to Target and buy a baby killing altar.
Absolutely.
It doesn't mean much, you know? It's not a gift from the heart.
You gotta make sure you go through. You're like routering all the stuff to kill the baby.
Right. You don't want it to have like a rough edge, just sanding it nice and smooth.
Right.
Like, it's a work of art.
All those different grits.
All the blood channels that you...
You're picking out the perfect polyurethane to go on.
Well, that's the thing is you got to poly it. Then you got to seal it because otherwise that altar's going to stain.
Well, you could stain it first with the blood.
You're staining it at least once.
At least once.
You got to go with a nice cherry stain. You know, that way it hides
absolutely, some
of those sins.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah.
What fucking mark do you find on your son where you're like,
Ugh. I had the exact same question I was going to ask you. I was like, what could you possibly have found on him that would convince you to kill him? You're clearly unstable, but you know, we talk about this right. all the time. Like, you know, if religion is the thing that fills this in, then, you know, then they're going to act within the boundaries of that religion.
Yeah. And that religion has all kinds of proscriptions and penalties.
And rapture is scary, man.
Right.
Rapture is scary. You know, I wonder if this guy's thinking he did a good thing. This guy's like, I killed the Antichrist. I'm kind of the savior.
Yeah. Everybody should be cool.
I'm kind of the savior. This baby supposedly had a mark on it that was 666 related or in some way. I wouldn't care if the baby came out of the womb and in Comic Sans on its head, it had 666. I'd be like, no, man, we're not killing the baby.
Whatever. Just cheese grate that
like,
off.
Like, are we kidding? Like, are you guys kidding? Are we kidding now? We're a pattern seeking creature. So we're going to see something that might not look like that. You know what I mean?
I'm
like,
sure he did not have a 666 on his
they
body.
They didn't show the corpse of the baby in this kid's thing.
10 months old. Yeah. Like it wouldn't just like appear.
Yeah. Right. You know, like you didn't bother to look at the baby beforehand.
Right. For the first most of the year, you're just like,
I haven't inspected this baby yet.
I was waiting for you to leave.
What's crazy is, you know, like this is your baby for 10 months. Admittedly, if you were to get a cat and have it for 10 months, you'd be kind of attached by then. You know, you would think you'd be attached with your baby by then. I wonder if this is one of those moments, though, that like where, you know, parents snap and they like go crazy because the baby's crying and they can't figure out how to get it to quit crying. So they just like shake it or whatever. If this guy's shaking the baby, was just stabbing it and throwing it in the dumpster.
That's an aggressive shake.
It is.
That is a very aggressive shake. Yeah, that's like, more than just like, it's the middle of the night and I'm frustrated and oh shit. Like, you bet an altar.
You got to go. Yeah.
You got to know. Like the altar
you knocked the TV off of the end table and you went to the drawer and you got a knife.
Yeah.
Unless of course there was just a random knife sitting around.
Unless of course you had built an altar just in case.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's possible.
Maybe you have a just in case altar as soon as you find out your wife is pregnant. Like, well, hang on a minute, honey. Like, I know we need a baby monitor.
Is that Rosemary's baby in there?
You know, let's put it in the oven with a little rosemary. Yeah, let's just bake that thing up.
Jeez. I read the story, though, and this is actually a really hard story to go through. Because could you imagine being the wife and coming home and be like, where's the baby? And he's like, I killed it. Don't tell anyone.
Yeah. And then like, she finds it in a plastic bag in a closet and tries to give the kids CPR. Fucking stabbed and shit. So she
clearly is
she's like attached to the baby because it's her baby.
Yeah, like you should be to humans.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. You know, this does lead me to speculate like in a little more serious tone. Like I would have a hard time believing that she went out to go to the grocery store and then like while she was gone, he went crazy while she was gone. Right. It's more likely that the man was suffering from mental illness for some time. And we don't have good resources for families to turn to get help for other members of their family. You know, there's a problem in this country. And I read an article about it a couple of years ago. It was very upsetting that described circumstances where a family member is having a difficult time with another family member who's mentally ill. They call help.
Yeah.
They call for help.
911.
Please show up and fucking kill these people.
That was This American Life, wasn't it?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's so we have not figured out the mental health component. And like what I would imagine is probably true. And I don't know this. So I recognize my speculation, right? What I imagine though is probably more likely than not is that the mom knew this guy is mentally ill.
Sure.
Right? That he had been mentally ill for some time, but that there wasn't a fucking lot she could do about it.
There's nothing you can do about it.
Right?
Yeah.
And like, it's not like
the baby strapped to you 24 hours a day.
And so the poor woman goes out to run an errand. And the guy is fucking mentally ill, and this is what happens.
Yeah.
And I have to believe genuinely that like if we had better healthcare services in this country, particularly better mental health care services, this kind of shit maybe doesn't happen so much. Still probably happens.
Yeah.
But this kind of shit happens with kind of alarming regularity.
People came to me, Dan Coates came to me and some others. They said they think it's Russia. I have President Putin. He just said it's not Russia. I will say this. I don't see any reason why it would be.
This story is from the lawandcrime.com. Update: White House fixes omission in Trump-Putin transcript. So this is kind of an interesting and evolving constantly moment by moment sort of a thing. Yeah. But bottom line is, like, there was a question at the joint press conference between Putin or with Putin and Trump, where a question was asked to Putin, like, did you want Trump to win? And did you do anything to help him win?
Yeah.
And Putin says,
Yes.
I wanted him to win.
It's hard. Yeah.
And because he was going to normalize relationships or relations with Russia.
Yeah.
And that transcript in that video was edited for public consumption.
Right.
And it was only after they were called out on it, it looks like from this update, which happened evidently this morning, it's only after they were called out on it that omission was reinserted into the transcript.
Maddow tweeted this out, and they showed the video side by side with what the, not only, so they didn't just edit the transcript, Tom.
They edited the video.
The video audio is edited as well. So I want to talk a little bit about this as a video editor and not talk about it as somebody who's involved in politics. When they record these things, they're done on two tracks in two different sides of the mic of the headphones, because they're translating and then they're also listening to the questions in one. So one of them is a translation, one of them is in Russian and one of them is in English. But when you put the headphones on, you hear both. What happened and what the Washington Post reported afterwards is that not only was the White House transcript bad, their transcript was bad too, because the way in which, and I heard the video that they played, because the way in which the person asks the question on like the wrong microphone, it gets cut. And so when they split the track and they got rid of the Russian, you don't hear the guy asking it because the way it was mixed was not correct in the thing. I totally get that, right? I get it and I understand. And Washington Post came out with an article that specifically said, look, we don't think this was malicious. We think that this was an honest mistake on their part, right? Okay. They put this video out. They thought it was, complete, and it wasn't. That was a very important part of that interview. That was in fact, if you were watching that interview, that press conference, that was amazingly important. I mean, it was earth-shatteringly important.
Right.
What I don't get as a video editor is how you edit this thing. You get this thing set up, and it's only 40 minutes long. I edit video for my day job. I edit video and audio. I would never, ever release to my tiny audience anything that my eyes did not look at many, many times. I would have watched that video all the way through very carefully to make sure it was complete. When you listen to that question, when it's after it's edited, it sounds weird because the beginning of the question is completely gone. All that you hear when you watch the video is him say,
it's not proofed at the very least.
It's not proofed, right?
Yeah.
What you have him say is, he says, And did you do that? And did you help him do that or whatever? Like, because the second part of that question, did you help him win the election? Did you order your people to do it? That's the question you hear, but you don't hear, did you want him to win the election?
Right.
And that's the beginning of that question. And so the question doesn't make sense.
So you would know audio was missing.
You would know if you proofed that video. If I watched it once.
Yeah.
I would, because maybe you're doing something else while you're doing it, but if you're releasing something to the general public, and that's, we're not talking about, you know, shitty higher ed money that I make. We're talking about White House money here. These are people who are paid money to release things from the White House.
You're also talking about an event which has orders of magnitude more importance than somebody's regular day-to-day life.
As an example, like I edit lectures, right? So I'll edit a lecture. A lecture will come to my desk. And that lecture was filmed on, say, two cameras, and I have a PowerPoint that I have to insert into it, right? So I'll get the lecture and then I'll have the PowerPoint. And if there's a stumble or something in there, I watch the whole fucking thing.
Yeah.
I watch it start to finish. And I'm like, oh, got to cut that, get rid of that, cut that, get rid of that. I'm editing it in a way to make sure that it flows well. But when you're taking something like this, you're just putting out something that is basic
true to
done.
Life.
It's 100% done.
You're trying to reflect a true to life moment.
Yeah.
Right.
And
without
so you would just
editorial
watch it.
Content.
You would yeah, watch right. it. The level of just the level of neglect.
Yeah. Carelessness.
That they would have to just let this fall out of their thing. And I think the Washington Post is also, I was like appalled that you would not pay attention to that. It's not hard. I'm not kidding, Tom, when I say you just put it on and watch it. That's it.
Yeah, right. It seems to me that like, this is something you have to get right. And I don't mean to be conspiratorial. So if it was just a genuine mistake, I'm going to let it be a genuine mistake.
Sure.
But it's a hell of a question for there to be a mistake about,
certainly
right?
It certainly is, right? It's the one main question.
It's a fucking hell of a question.
It's the question that everybody was talking
it's
about.
It's the question of the day right now.
It's the question that everybody was talking about. So that's why, to me, it's so surprising that they could put this on the desk of two different people.
And they both
just fucking flake. And you're like, how the fuck did you flake?
And that feels fucking unlikely.
It feels unlikely. I don't feel like it. It was I after watching it and hearing their explanation, I was like, yeah, I totally see how that's possible. I totally see how that could slip through the cracks. But that means that you neglected it. That means you didn't do a good job. It means you didn't bother to pay attention.
And like, maybe we ought to be a little concerned about the quality of the fucking work. If this is the reality that's being represented to the American public.
He just comes back from the same thing where he's in a closed door meeting, where he doesn't stand up to him, where it looks like he's working with him. You would
where
think,
he wouldn't.
Right. You would think that he would look, or at least somebody on that staff would look at the people doing this and be like, don't fuck this up.
Yeah.
This is another brick.
Isn't every time that you are doing work that is part of a fucking historic summit between two nation leaders, like that doesn't get someone's attention. There's no second set of eyes
on
that.
That's the other thing too, is like I work alone, but I would imagine there would be a whole team of people that you would pass. I don't know how this works. But
I just went and watched The Incredibles 2. Great movie. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Loved it.
Yeah.
How many people do you think watched that movie?
Sure.
Before I watched that movie.
Of course.
Right?
Yeah.
It's not an important movie.
Yeah.
It's about fake superheroes that fight fake supervillains.
Right.
It's unimportant.
Mm-hmm.
This is important. Like if we are so lazy about getting this right, we have no hope of making good decisions because we're not going to be fed the right information. We're going to be fed half or less or at it. Also, this sort of shit erodes the public's confidence.
Donald Trump often appears on Fox, which is ironic because a fox often appears on Donald Trump's head.
All right. So this story is from The Guardian. The latest Trump scandal would have destroyed any other president. I guess, you know, the reason I wanted to talk about this, Cecil, is like, so let me preface it with what the story is about. The story is about the audio. So Michael Cohen, who is Trump's former attorney, who at one point said he would take a bullet for the president. And I guess what he meant by that is...
What he meant was one of those airsoft bullets.
Yeah, right? I'll take a soft paintball.
Exactly.
Maybe. Yeah. Well, I won't really. Yeah. Like
paintball's too big.
Yeah,
we're talking airsoft here.
Yeah. Tops.
Yeah.
Nerf dart.
Yeah. Speaking of airsoft, President Trump having sex with somebody.
So it turns out like he'll take a bullet as long as nobody asks him to take a bullet because he's flipping so hard on the president right now.
Oh, yeah.
And the audio was released. I guess he taped certain conversations with Trump and some of the audio from those conversations has been released.
Yeah. Have you heard it?
I've not. No. Could you listen to it?
Yeah, I listened to it. I listened to it.
What were your impressions? I read transcripts of this.
So it's not salacious, right? What you're getting is a very matter of fact conversation between two people that is a little bit difficult to hear. Because it is muddy.
That's what they said on the...
Cohen's lawyer is saying that this audio... is saying one thing. Giuliani's saying it's saying the other.
Right.
Cohen's lawyer is saying that the audio tells us a story about how Trump wanted to pay cash and Cohen told him, no, what we'll do instead is we're going to pay for it through a different means, like create a company or something and then pay him. And Giuliani is saying that Trump is actually saying he's saying don't pay cash. And then Cohen is disagreeing, saying they should.
Oh, I see.
And then the tape shuts off relatively quickly right at thereafter. I think when you hear it, it's hard to understand as a layperson, right? You're kind of listening mm-hmm. to two people talk about.
I didn't think the transcripts were terribly enlightening.
They're not enlightening and they're not damning. And right. That's the thing is that I think a lot of people want to hear is him being like, yeah, I fucked that broad. So is there any way we could fucking pay that bitch, huh? What do you say, huh?
Right.
Like they expect it to be like Goodfellas, where somebody is clearly saying something.
Outline the scope and nature of my crimes.
Exactly.
I will give you a story, which if you wrote down would be deeply problematic for me.
Yeah. Right. This guy is saying that's not going to be like that at all. And so what I think the American public, when we hear this, it kind of washes over us. We're like, yeah, I don't know that I get it or I don't know. And there's going to be a lot of people that when they hear this, they don't think much of it.
Yeah.
And I think that that actually this article is wrong. It would be hard, I think, to get somebody to lose their job over this because I don't feel like it's
terribly damning.
It's terribly damning.
It's funny because the reason that I grabbed this article is because I want to be very clear. Like, I have made no secret that I am no fan of Trump. But this should not be the thing that sinks him, right?
Yeah.
I don't give a shit if he bought a model's story. Like if he like this,
do you not care that he tried to subvert it before his election?
Well, I think the timing of the payout makes all the difference in the world. Right. So this isn't relative to the Stormy Daniels affair. This is relevant.
This is a different person
to a different person, a Playboy model, I guess, that he supposedly slept with or what have you.
Had an affair. Like it sounded like had a lengthy affair with.
Right.
Yeah.
I just want to be really clear. Like I don't think anybody's personal fucking sexual adventures or misadventures.
I don't care either.
Should ever be the thing.
No.
That knocks them off the. What should matter though is transparency. And like, I think I agree with you in the sense that like, if there was a deliberate attempt throughout the election cycle to leverage money in order to reduce transparency to sway an election.
Sure.
Right. That's a problem, but it's not a problem because of the fact that he fucked somebody or didn't fuck somebody. Who cares?
It's a problem because what he's trying to do is hide it from his moral police that follow him around, and he doesn't want them to know what happened.
Exactly.
That's the problem. It's unethical to pay someone and to get it hidden. Here's the thing, man. He was right. He could have shot somebody. He could have shot somebody in the street and they wouldn't have cared.
They were voting for this guy no matter what.
They didn't care. Right. They just wanted the non-black, non-woman one. They didn't care about any of the rest of the stuff. They don't care what the fuck he is.
And
he could have been a guy who talked in clicks and whistles and never said a single thing of sense the entire time. It wouldn't have mattered.
Yeah.
They just wanted the package. They wanted the thing that didn't threaten them. That's what they wanted. And they voted for it.
Yep.
That's it.
Nobody voted for, I don't say nobody, but like so many people voted against Hillary, right? Which is why so much of the conversation about Trump ends up becoming about Hillary, right?
Yeah.
Even Trump's conversation about Trump.
He didn't vote for himself, right? He voted against Hillary.
It's, it's kind of amazing. Yeah. So like
when Trump's like a Bernie bro.
So like, when you read this article and it's like, this would have sunk any other president. What we have to recognize is that Trump is not like any other president.
He's definitively
a new thing.
He's a mutant.
And it's not, we need to take the idea that, and I think like at this point, if we haven't fucking gotten there, we're not paying attention. We need to take the idea that this is anything like the politics of yore.
Sure.
And set that to the side. And we just say like, look, no one's going to care about this. No, you and I care about this in the sense that like we recognize that he leveraged money to get elected to, reduce the transparency. No one's going to give a shit.
Yeah.
This will never be the thing. They could come out with tapes. They could come out with a fucking sex tape.
They already came
him fucking these people. No one cares.
I mean, before he got elected, they came out with a tape of him being unbelievably misogynistic.
Nobody cared.
Talking about sexual harassment.
Right.
On tape, on camera.
Yeah.
And he didn't.
In the most piggish terms.
He never once had any, that wasn't even a speed bump.
Yeah.
I thought for sure, I was like, when I heard that tape, I was like, oh no. I was like, how do you recover from that? And he had a little statement where he was like, it was locker room talk. That's it. And that was the end of it.
He didn't recover from it. He was never damaged.
Right. That was where I was mistaken in the sense that I thought it damaged him, but it never did.
No.
It bounced right off his hull.
He lost like, the first debate. It didn't damage him.
Yeah. It's the first debate. He was a buffoon.
Yeah. It didn't matter. The thing is that like, he is just the angry, belligerent, racist uncle.
Yeah.
That the angry belligerents want to have in office right now.
It's not the sex at all. No. I don't care about the sex. I literally don't. Like, it doesn't matter to me at all. It doesn't matter to me if he even had a sex tape come out. If he had a sex, like literally had a sex tape where there was a video, I would never watch it. But if there was a sex tape of him having sex.
The worst thing in the entire world.
I would do whatever I could to make sure that that never crossed my eyes. I would go as far as pulling them out of my head.
I was going to say. I would rather go permanently blind.
I'd be like, no, I'm good. I don't need to see it.
Boiling bleach into my eyes.
I'll just remember what it was like to look at stuff. But the thing is if a sex tape came out, I still wouldn't care.
Because the sex doesn't matter. Like, it's the cover up. It's the financial cover up.
It's just the cover up. And to be honest, like you said, I would much rather see him. I would much rather see him attacked for all the shit he's doing. Because I feel like that's the stuff that matters. This doesn't matter.
Yeah. Well, I guess I feel like there's a part of me that with the president so egregiously awful, there is a part of me that feels utilitarian, like whatever it takes to get him out.
Yeah.
You know,
sure.
Whatever it takes. But I feel like I also need to ride a slightly higher ground than that and be like, well, we need to get people out for the right reasons because the next guy that comes out, maybe that's my guy.
Yeah.
Maybe that's somebody that I, you know, has progressive ideals that I genuinely agree with. And like, I think what's good for the goose is what's good for the gander. So you don't want to burn your enemy's house down and have yours fall down around you too, you know?
Yeah. I look back at sexual scandals that have rocked the Democratic side. And I think about Anthony Weiner as the main one that I think about. And I think about where his political career is now.
Look at Al Franken.
Yeah.
Al Franken took a stupid, ill-advised photo.
Inappropriate photo with somebody. Yeah.
And like that ruined his career. And you can argue about whether that was right or wrong. And I don't even want to go down that road.
Yeah.
Then you got Trump, who says the lady can grab him by the pussies when you're famous.
Yeah.
You get and like he's still employed.
Yeah.
I feel like we're living in a mad world when
you're definitely living in a double standard, right? You're definitely living in a double standard where, you know,
is there a standard for Trump? That's the thing. Is there any Trump standard?
But I will say like, you know, they didn't vote Roy Moore into office. You know what I mean? Like Roy Moore, they saw what happened with him. Yeah. He lost the election. That doesn't mean that he still didn't run under the Republican Party.
I know. And get the backing of the president.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
Like that's the crazy thing. It's like,
I know that there's been a couple of others though, that have had to step down because of this, but like, there's been a couple of Republicans that have had to step down because of inappropriate
I'm not sure
behavior.
It's a Republican Democrat issue. I think it's like when there's a double standard, it's a standard for Trump.
Yeah.
Who is his own juggernaut of a thing.
Doesn't have any other. Yeah. You're right.
And it's like there's no standard. And it's when you talk to supporters, they're just like, oh, that stuff doesn't matter.
Now, the concern, obviously, is if this isn't bottled up in San Francisco, this kind of nonsense, then it's going to be spreading across the entire fruited plain, and you're going to be going to your Burger King in Des Moines, Iowa, and you're going to have a rainbow-colored wrapper for your Whopper.
This is Right Wing Watch. Rick Wiles, we are 72 hours from a coup during which Trump will be decapitated on the White House lawn. This story
this is like the Running Man or something.
Came out July 18th.
July 18th.
More than 72 hours ago. And okay. I know that's not what he's really saying.
Yeah,
I guess
that's true. It's only 8 days old at this point. All right, so here we go. This is Rick Wiles.
All right.
And we showed you CIA agent, homosexual Anderson Cooper on CNN. Well,
wait. He's a CIA agent?
He looks more like a Bond villain than he does a CIA agent.
I can see him as an Archer style.
That white hair.
I don't know, man.
I'd see him as more like the boss, though. Look, wouldn't he be the guy who you come into his office and he's like, you're probably wondering why I called you here.
Damn it, Agent Cooper.
Over on The other communist news channel, MSNBC, they have another homosexual, Rachel Maddow. You see, America, you've been homosexualized.
What? Because I heard Rachel Maddow talk about something Trump said. Like, I don't get it.
It's
like,
true, though. Rachel Maddow eats pussy. Yeah. I like eating pussy. Like, I've been, it's like, we're like simpatico.
Whenever you hear anybody, talk that is gay, you suddenly become gay. Like, I don't.
That's how that works.
Yeah. Like everybody who's ever heard a Liberace song.
They're on TV, that makes you gay. It homosexualizes you.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. That's why everybody's a homosexual.
You've been Judaized.
Okay. Well, that's fair too.
All right. Where's my 30 pieces of silver? I want my silver. God damn it.
Here's the thing, man. If you guys own the media, you Jews out there, if you're listening, you own the media.
Oh, I thought he was talking about Judas.
Oh,
like traitors.
I thought he was talking about Jews.
Oh, I don't know. Is he?
I don't know.
Did I misread that?
Maybe I thought, I don't know. Let's see.
I'm going to just tell you the way it is. Okay. Your minds have been captured. You're no longer a Christian nation. Even the Christians don't think like Christians anymore.
That's right.
Except for me. I do a real good job of it.
Oh, yeah.
I'm Rick Wiles.
Yeah.
I'm immune.
Yeah. Christian TM.
Right.
Afterwards.
Yeah. Isn't that what he's saying? Mm-hmm. Like,
yeah.
I can see what you can't. I have magic discernment powers because I'm just better than you.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's like an elitism. These guys are like the most like anti-elitism, anti-ivory tower guy, but their ivory tower is just an anti-intellectual, faith-based ivory tower.
Yeah.
I'm more...
It's made of popsicle sticks. Yeah.
I'm up on the fucking Babel.
Can I stand on this thing? Is it safe up here?
Build the pylons out of toothpicks.
Is it? Should this ladder be missing all its rungs?
You've been Judaized, you've been homosexualized, you've been Babylonianized.
Okay, wait.
Now,
what does that
even
mean?
How did that happen?
What is Babylonianized?
I didn't even notice any of these things. This is amazing. They're so good at this. And yet we still elected Trump.
Your minds have been tainted. You don't even think like a Christian anymore.
Well, I didn't start.
I did, and then I got better.
I never even gave it much of a whirl, to be honest with you.
And so Rachel Maddow, she was spewing out last night calls for revolution.
That's exactly right.
No, she wasn't.
No, she wasn't. No?
No. Rachel Maddow, all she ever does is say, she'll say something like the time is coming. But what that means is that she's hoping that he'll get impeached. Like, Rachel Maddow just doesn't have a fucking shiny pitchfork. She's not marching. She's not doing any of that work.
Do you think that that's what they interpret as
it's,
revolution?
I mean, goodness gracious, would you have to like stretch out what someone's saying to say revolution? I mean, like, these are the same people though, Tom, that thought that when protesters were on the street in Chicago protesting Trump, that was anti-American, that this is America's falling apart at its seams.
Yeah, and so that's what I mean, right?
They can't differentiate between civil unrest and all-out revolution.
Well, they can when it's their guy.
Yeah. Well, yeah, right? Because they didn't say fuck all when it was the fucking
exactly.
Tea Party.
Right.
Calls to remove the president of the United States. She was telling the left, take a deep breath. We're at that moment. It's coming. We're at that moment. We're almost there. We're going to remove him from the White House.
Yeah, that's
through a legal process.
Through a process where you ask Congress to do it.
Through a process enshrined in the Constitution.
Yeah. Like, what's the big deal?
That's not a revolution.
And the idea that you would be so appalled by that, like, they were fine with it.
Well, oh, yeah. Like, there were calls for Obama's impeachment. There were calls for impeachment.
But they were fine with it when it was fucking Clinton.
Right.
The fuck, man?
Friends, I think we're about 72 hours, possibly 72 hours from a coup.
A coup? Who's going to, what general is going to try to take over?
This is like,
who?
I'm sorry. Can you go to truenews.com? Do they sell buckets?
Yeah.
do they sell apocalypse wear? Because this kind of bullshit liar fear-mongering always has a profit angle.
Look, be prepared that you're going to turn on television and see helicopters hovering over the roof of the White House.
Why is President Trump a flight risk? Like, why would there be helicopters?
I have no idea.
It's like President Trump's like trying to run across the lawn and it gets like seven steps. He's like... Why do you even need helicopters?
You need the big two-bladed ones for that guy. Like, are you kidding me?
Exactly. They need the two-bladed.
The wubba-dubbas.
Like, lowering the shit in there. Like, picking them up like an old air conditioner from
like
a high-rise.
Like an elephant, like with a cargo net, you know? Like, flying them around.
Trump's belly's flapping. He's looking down all puzzled. What's happening to me?
Arms and legs straight out as he goes.
I should not be flying like this.
I love, too, the idea that, like, this guy is so old and fucking out of touch that he's like, you're going to turn on the TV. Yeah,
yeah.
That's where America gets news.
Nobody.
Because we're all 70. Yeah,
nobody watches TV anymore.
Honey, turn on the news.
Could you get to news on your TV?
No.
You wouldn't.
All I have is the news on Hulu or Netflix?
Yeah, so you
that's all I have.
That's all you have, so no.
I couldn't turn the news on in my house.
Yeah.
It's not where I get my news. I'm not an asshole.
With men clad in black rappelling down ropes, entering into the White House.
Who's controlling them?
And then what are they doing when they get in? Are they up like a fucking a surprise party for Trump?
We brought you a cake. We know that you eat two slices for every one that we get. We're only commandos.
But wait, who's controlling them?
Stay there with a birthday cake.
Happy birthday, Mr.
Be prepared for a shootout in the White House. As Secret Service agents shoot commandos coming in to arrest President Trump. That's how close we are to revolution.
Commandos don't arrest people. But the commandos
they command said, people.
What do they do? They just walk in like, this is my commando badge. Bill, I'm going to have to ask you to leave your commando badge and commando gun. You're being suspended.
Be prepared for a mob, a leftist mob, to tear down the gates, the fence of the White House.
They all get shot immediately. Yeah,
literally never will happen.
They would get fucking that machine gunned before that. Yeah.
There's like fucking machine gun turrets that will pop up out of the ground.
I have a strong suspicion it's the like entire fucking, White House lawn is, with the press of a button, one giant landmine. Yeah,
it's like a burp gun on top of the thing, just like burp, burp, burp. Like turning people into smears. Like, that's what's going to happen. Are you kidding me? You couldn't even get close to
As
it.
If to suggest that the only thing between, like, the public and the president is
a tiny fence.
A
tiny wrought iron fence.
Release the hounds. Like, really? Oh my God, they breached the fence. We should have put on, I don't know, another.
We need to get Trump out of here. Get a commando in here.
And go into the White House and drag him out with his family and decapitate them on the lawn of the White House.
Okay.
What is it, Lord of the Flies?
No, it's fucking Game of Thrones.
It's the end of it's the end of Natural Born Killers.
No way. I'm getting hacked.
A port scan?
No, this is major. They've already burned through the NCIS public firewall.
What is that, video game?
No, Tony, we're getting hacked.
It's Right Wing Watch. InfoWars. Deep state Trump assassins will use the internet kill switch in a cover-up. This is amazing.
So evidently a couple of places were offline briefly because Google Cloud Service outage, and there was some stuff that basically went down.
I want to say, like, they were up in arms because a couple of right-wing sites, including the Drudge Report, were down. Also down was like Pokemon Go and Spotify.
Yeah, and Snapchat.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's not like this was like a targeted approach
to
right-wing sites.
It's the people who were using Google Cloud Service. Yeah. Right. So like this has happened to Reddit in the past when they were on Amazon. Like, their shit would just go down. Like, it would just go. So, like,
sometimes
that happens.
Our show didn't post for 2 weeks to Google Play Music.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a Google conspiracy. Oh, this guy's got a couple in him, too.
So the internet kill switch test that they ran today is not to see if they can shut down the internet. They really couldn't care less. They're fine with the internet operating. They can manipulate it. Most people don't give a damn anyway. And most people just go on the internet to look at porn.
I think there's a little projecting going on there.
It's not all I look at. Yeah. After 7 minutes, if I'm still on the internet, I'm not looking at porn
seven
anymore.
7 minutes. It's like your third time.
But on this damn thing, 7 minutes, I'm already raw.
Oh, God.
But if they can assassinate a president and then in the immediate aftermath, say for 3 hours, shut down the internet, shut down SEOs, shut down InfoWars, shut down Breitbart. They realize after that 3 hours, half the people that would have been searching that aren't even going to look for it anymore.
No, we decided like, I only have fish. What are we just like fucking swimming our little, and we're like, huh, something happened today. I forgot. I completely forgot about
it. Hey, Cecil.
Yeah.
Hey, the president was assassinated, yeah. But then the internet went down and I watched a Lord of the Rings movie and now I don't care anymore.
Who do you think's going to win the World Series?
Did we have a 3-hour memory for an assassination? You wouldn't be like, oh, wait a minute. Who did it?
Yeah.
I don't immediately know. Yeah. I don't care anymore.
Da, 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 da. It's like you wouldn't look at somebody and be like, you know, I can't get on the internet right now. Write this on the fridge real quick.
You know what?
So I don't forget it.
It'd Alexa,
be like memento. You would tattoo it on your right. arm. So when you woke up, be like, check who murdered Trump. You know what I mean? Like, it'd be ridiculous.
Alexa, add Google who murdered Trump to to-do list.
I'm sorry. I'm down right now.
The narrative has been controlled at that point.
And so, boom, now they control the narrative. They're mocking group press.
Well, how do you control the narrative? What do you say? Like, oh, guys, I know your internet went down for three hours. That didn't happen?
I think you just paused briefly the narrative and also created an additional story to talk about.
you need another explanation.
Did the narrative just get like more complex and harder to control? Yeah.
Didn't the narrative just get more malicious and evil?
If you turn the internet back on ever, assuming that there's a switch to turn off the internet. That's a which, by the way, that's not how the internet works.
By the way, the internet, I don't think. Now, look, I'm willing to be corrected on this, but the internet does not work like that.
I am not an expert on computadors.
I'm not.
Right.
I'm not. But I am pretty sure that if someone shut down one site or several series of sites, even if they shut down Google, the internet would not cease to exist. The internet would still continue to be a place that you could go. Because it's not like you would have to shut down every computer that has a server on the internet. Like all the servers that are connected to the internet would have to be shut down. You could still get to fucking timecube.com or whatever.
Right.
Because that guy runs it from his base.
Oh, yeah, right. So you could still get to Serious Inquiries Only.
Yeah.
He runs his own server.
He runs his own server.
Right. And so he'll talk about this.
So you'd be fine.
Right. He's not an armature, people.
Gets the word out first. You can't access InfoWars. You can't access anything. So, you know, it's on to the average American, to the average individual that doesn't understand where we're at right now in human history and how deep the corruption of humans really is. This is going to sound insane.
Look, I know how stupid you people are. I know you people are really, really dumb, and you're going to think I'm crazy. And it's not because I'm crazy.
It's because you're dumb. If you don't, I love the backhanded, if you don't believe me, you're a fucking idiot.
You're an idiot. You're a sheeple.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's it, right? Yeah.
It's going to sound so far out there that you know, whatever. We're conspiracy theorists. We're this, we're that, and the other thing. But let me tell you.
No, you just don't understand how the internet works. What I think is you don't understand how the internet technologically operates.
And this is the cause of many, many conspiracy theories, right?
Is it lack of knowledge?
It's a lack of understanding.
Right.
And when you don't understand something, you become afraid of it.
Yeah.
Right. So he's afraid of something that happened today. Instead of looking for the right answer, instead of going out there and being like, what's the facts? What happened? He's saying, no, this was deliberate. They tried to shut it down. So instead of paying attention or taking a look at something, reading multiple reports that say this cloud service went down, instead he jumps to any conclusion he can to try to make sure he can fulfill that pattern that he has, that the world, like the cynical view of the world that he has.
Right.
He's going to do that every time.
When he's decided the internet sites that he wants to go to are unavailable. And so he starts weaving a tale about that.
Sure.
Without any corroborating evidence to back up that tale.
He should have checked his Snapchat.
Right.
Then he would know that's down too.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the Spotify, that's down too.
But you know, like a guy like this would be like, yeah, well, you know, what they're doing is they're taking down a number of sites in order to make it look random. Like, you know how all this works,
because
right?
He's going to try to explain the thing that he wants to explain and the other stuff's just
because
collateral.
The story has been decided upon.
Yeah, absolutely.
And the details simply backfill the larger story.
Yeah, exactly. He's come to his conclusion. Now, how do I make it so?
Right.
All you have to do is watch C-SPAN for a week, and you will see how real this shit is. If you watched Chuck Schumer talk out of two sides of his mouth, if you watched Congressman Raskin talk out of two sides of his mouth in real time, you realize how real this is.
It's crazy because they just hold it like different and then they talk out of both sides.
I like how well they use that puppet. Just, like, they're so good at it, you know? Like, it just,
You gotta
I like the jalapeno on the stick. That's the one I
you
like.
You gotta love prop comedy.
So, I mean, my conspiracy theory, since everyone has a conspiracy theory, Russia hacks every election now. My conspiracy theory is they tested the internet kill switch today so they can find out how long they can keep it down
without people bitching.
Without people bitching about whatever it is.
Yeah.
And the biggest
people would bitch within a second. My internet goes down at 2:30 in the morning for service. I can't keep watching It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, and I am complaining.
You know, it's funny because like look at what happens when Reddit goes down. Like, look at how many people get pissed off when Reddit goes down.
People complain when anything happens. That is the fucking America. It's more than baseball. The American pastime is bitching when our first world fucking luxuries are taken away.
It's such bullshit. It's such a lie.
I know.
You're just like, people aren't bitching about it. No, like, motherfucker, you know how many fucking, how many messages each one of those services got because they were fucking down?
When Google Play didn't post our little podcast, I sent them multiple emails.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
The internet goes down. Let's see if anyone... We've replaced their regular internet with nothing at all.
Yeah.
Let's see if they notice.
With these two monkeys banging rocks together.
Biggest story that people would bitch about, the biggest story that would ever get researched in internet history, bigger than Janet Jackson's tit, would be Donald Trump gets assassinated.
I love, like, the story that everyone's going to search for on the internet. You just shut the internet down.
And the story you're searching for is a Super Bowl 20 years ago or whatever, where somebody accidentally showed a booby with a fucking a pasty on it.
And that's it.
Rufio, come in here real quick.
Rufio?
Rufio? Is his name John Rufio?
No, I was thinking of Rufio from Hook.
Rufio. I was thinking of Rufio from Parks and Recreation. Oh.
Different Rufio.
Do you know who I'm talking about? The guy who did the bad raps. Like the rap always ended on the wrong line.
Girlfriends are always sleepy.
Yeah.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
This story is from Right Wing Watch. This is Jim Baker. A packet of my coffee will get you a new car when the end times come. I do want to say I selected this story because if shit does go down, and my coffee supply is threatened.
Oh, gosh.
You can have my car.
Well, could you imagine? Could you imagine what it's going to be like next week when the world ends?
Yeah.
You know, you watch like The Walking Dead and none of those people look like they have a caffeine headache. I know I would have a caffeine headache in a second. Dude. I'd be like, no. Don't ever talk to me. If there's a zombie, I would kill every zombie around me just because they made a little too much noise. like you're rustling too loud outside.
If I am unable to receive my coffee, I can tolerate a lot of shit, mm-hmm. Cecil. Yeah. I can put up with a lot of depredation.
Sure. Yeah.
But if shit goes down and I run out of Starbucks via packets before we get the fucking machines of import-export back up and running, I will single-handedly Thunderdome this nation to the fucking ground.
How bitchy we first world fuckers are going to be. Everybody else in the world is just like, yeah, no, this is Tuesday. This is how it works.
Right?
This is how it works.
In like Rio, people are like, yeah.
Maybe. Fewer people died today.
Yeah. Welcome to my world. Now we won't have to import your garbage to sort through.
Oh, man.
God has spoken to us to prepare for what's coming. I believe Donald Trump was given by God to give us a respite and give us.
This is our respite?
He's the respite.
It's going to get worse.
It's going to get worse.
From here?
Let me tell you something. It's going to get worse before it gets better.
Who are we hiring after this?
I don't know.
Seriously, what's next?
Someone comes in.
A three-legged dog?
Someone comes in and they're just like, they're flipping through their vetting papers and they're like, it says here you had seven people killed. Yeah.
Okay, that's cool.
No, Richard
that's
Speck no, for president.
No, it's fine. I mean, I'm just impressed. That's all. Like, I'm not talking. I'm not saying it disqualifies you in any way.
No, we're just. Yeah, it's no, cool.
It's fine. Yeah. Can you turn me on to your guy? Like,
there's a time of prosperity, but do you think time the evil Antichrist spirit is sitting back?
No.
They're fighting tooth and toenail.
They're tooth and toenail.
Wait, what?
Why are they using their toenails? Just like
I love the person who has sharpened their own toenails.
You're just like, you're snuggling with a demon. You're like, oh, can you cut your toenails?
Fuck! Ow!
Jesus, move your fucking feet if you're not going to take care of those
Jesus
things.
Jesus Christ, they got little claws on there.
You know what, Turner? I'm the big spoon.
Fine. Your significant other's just hanging from the rafters upside down. Just from their toenails. It's like one of those nasty curvy ones. You know, like when the people have
the super long fingernails
and then they have the curvy toenails.
Just,
as they walk, they make a clicking sound.
It's against the hardwood. Tickety-tack, tickety-tack, tickety-tack.
You sound like, you're like a centaur.
Right? What is the dog out? What's going on?
They're fighting the president.
Yes.
They want to kill him.
Yes.
And believe me, if they get one open shot, someone will kill our president.
That's how it. That's how always all presidents work.
That's why every president has security. Yeah,
that's why they ride around in a Pope box.
Right?
Like, are you kidding me?
Matter of fact, in the news yesterday, they had to go and find somebody in Pennsylvania that has made threats to the president of the United States to kill him.
Yes,
this is real. And when you talk about the prophet,
yeah, that happens all the time.
People are crazy. There's 320 million people. A number of them are crazy.
People talk about killing the president all the time.
We covered a story about a guy who stabbed a baby today.
Yeah.
Like, are you kidding me?
The prophets being here on this stage, this is the number one thing that keeps saying, Jim, Lori, audience, we are living in the most prophetic time in history.
What does that mean? The most prophetic time in history?
Other times had less prophetic.
Prophecies?
So this is more... Yeah. Of the prophetic.
Yeah. I have the armature prophecies and the prophecies.
So it can be hard for lay people to understand,
sure,
but there's a prophetic continuum, you see.
Oh, God.
And we're at the maximal edge of propheticosity or prophetakos. We're going to become a prophetocracy. Is that?
I don't know what
that means either.
Means
doesn't mean anything.
The most prophetic time in history. It's,
there were other times they were less prophetic, I guess is what I'm saying.
In any other time, if that's the case, we're getting the storehouse ready one bucket at a time.
You bet you are, baby.
In that you are buying.
In that we want you to buy buckets. We're getting the storehouse ready.
What we'll do, now hear us out, is we will trade you buckets for money.
Yeah.
And you can have the soon to be invaluable buckets. And we'll just have that pesky old
that money. Nobody's going to need in a couple of weeks.
That's because you know what? We recognize that the more valuable item isn't the money, which we would like, by the way, in exage for these buckets.
The Lord has given us a respite. And so as soon as that respite is up,
right,
which could be, it could be as few as, you know, a couple of years from now, Tom. I mean, we could vote him out then and that respite will go away.
No more. We're just,
and that means that's
there go the good times, buddy.
That's end times. Ugh. So stock up on coffee.
I've never looked forward to something more.
Like I said, man, I'm high-fiving every zombie. I'm just like, let's do this.
And all you preppers that don't have coffee, this is your moment to start getting your coffee ready. Start stocking up on coffee, bartering.
In the apocalypse, I like to start my morning with a little pick-me-up. It's the apocalypse! Like, I love the idea that, like, it's the fucking biblical apocalypse. And we're like, well, stock up on your first world luxuries. Exactly. You wouldn't want to be inconvenienced while there's fucking death in the streets.
Make sure to get two or three Kindles because one battery may run out.
You know what? You might not be able to charge it for a long time during the rise of the four horsemen.
Okay, let me get you a gasless generator or whatever. Fuelless generator.
Your neighbor has been hung from a lamppost by his own intestines. And you're like, well, I like cream in my coffee. How much more fucking spoiled privileged, shitty, first world ass motherfucker. They should be a bucket of life straws and antibiotics.
Yeah, exactly. Life straws, antibiotics, and then just pure calorie blocks.
What fucking
like little tiny sugar cubes.
Right.
Just be a sugar cube.
It's just
factory.
It's a lard infused sugar cube.
That's all it should be.
It's just the maximum amount
a day. Right. And that's it.
We're all eating the fucking gels that marathon runners squirt into their mouths. That's all any of us should have.
Green is going to be the number one thing.
What do you think that would be worth when if the sun don't shine? What would it be worth with the...
Well, it's nothing. Why are you even going to heat it up? Yeah, there's no sun.
The sun doesn't shine. Let me tell you something. My eyes aren't going to shine for very long.
Plus, like, why am I getting up in the morning when I need my coffee if the sun isn't up?
I never wake up.
I mean, like, it's nighttime.
I'm like one of those, like, dumb birds that you put a fucking, like, the...
Nobody put a sheet over the cage. Over
the cage. And I'm just like... No sun. Go back to sleep.
I'm going
to
hibernate my way through the apocalypse.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you go to sleep and 4.5 billion years later,
right?
Why you?
Oh, just in time for the heat death of the universe.
This power goes out and there's no trucks running, and the EMP bomb or whatever they're talking about for these last day events.
You're talking about.
Yeah, the EMP bomb.
That you're talking about.
Well, my coffee will be still fine because there's no electronics in it, hopefully.
We're going to rub a couple of sticks together underneath this bucket. I don't know what. Coffee? Where am I going to get my lobster thermidor? What the fucking shit is this?
Hold on. I want to heat up my escargot.
Oh, you know what? I only like that.
Hold on. I have some in a bucket. Let me get my manservants over here.
You know, I only like that soft nugget ice like you get at Sonic. So,
can you bring me an iced coffee? Tom wants more lobster thermidor, and I'll have another dish of carpaccio.
He comes by, it's like, you spilled, this isn't cold brewed. Fuck you.
Have him killed to get a new one. It's the apocalypse.
Just send him outside. He'll die of exposure.
Who cares?
Oh, God.
Amazing. There should be a show like that, like the first world apocalypse, where it's just like, someone is just constantly complaining about what's happening.
Like, it's like Paris Hilton during the apocalypse.
Tapping at their iPhone, like, God damn, no more internet.
Just trying to take like the best Instagram photo with like filters and shit on it. Like,
I don't
know.
What do you think, red filter guys?
I got to edit this video down before I post it. Hang on a second. That's the death of your mother. I look fat. Okay. It's not a flattering angle. And my dress is rumpled.
This 2-gallon bucket, mm-hmm. a packs of coffee.
Yes.
You could trade them for whatsoever you want.
That's it.
You could probably.
A little girl.
Women.
Cecil.
How much for the little girl?
Why in this scenario am I now willing to give up the coffee?
I know, right? Like, I spent
the coffee
all this-
is now.
Hard-earned money on it.
Well, plus, like, he has
now
informed me that this coffee is of insane value.
What you're doing, though, is you're trading your useless currency in for better currency.
Well, but, like, his barter system is like, I have a coffee, and then in a minute, I'm going to get a car for it, right? Okay, so now I have a car, but now I'm out coffee.
Yeah.
But coffee and a car are equal. So now... Don't I just want to trade back for the coffee? Because that's really what I wanted to start with.
Well,
who wants the coffee this bad? I'm confused about this whole system.
This whole system doesn't make sense.
Because now the other guy had a car, but now he's got a box of coffee. But now that box of coffee is worth a car, right? So now, is he going to... You know what I mean? Yeah. He just... What the fuck? Why? This is why we invented money, exactly. So we don't have to do this.
So we have an arbitrary scale.
We get a new car for one packet of coffee.
Yeah, but then EMP bomb went off, so your car's useless.
Like that's the other thing, right? Yeah. Like, I'll give you a packet of coffee for that car. Yeah, the car is fucking, you got to hitch it to a donkey to make it go.
Or at this point, you're just like, yeah, well, you can drive it, but there's nothing anywhere because it's the end. So we want to thank our patrons, Joseph, Chris, Michelle, the Fallacious Trump Podcast,
Dave, Trent, Eric, Lisa, Fausto, the infamous Molly Coddle, Rachel, Sarah, Marie, Jody, Grant, Anaximander, maybe, Jason, Foxhole Atheist, Nicholas, Sally, Hunter, Jody, Jim, Oshiki, Rachel.
That's Rachel.
That's Rachel, right? I'm not wrong. Mr. Richard, Casey, Kay, Angus, Karen, Vance S., John, William, Joel, Katie, another Lego welder, Barbara, and Andrew. Thanks so much for your generous donations.
Thank you very much.
You guys are the reason Glory Hole Studios exist. So we want to thank you guys for all your generous donations. Got a few emails we want to go through. The first is an image from Aaron, and it's a great image of Trump as Putin was leading him into the press conference. I saw another one. And this might, I don't know if you got this far in the books for Game of Thrones, or, and if you saw, I don't know how far you saw in the series.
I only watched the first season.
So maybe you got this far. I don't know, but there's a guy named Reek later on.
I read about Reek.
So there's an image where it says, Putin says, "What's your name?" And Trump says, "My name is Reek." We got another image.
Fuck you.
This one is from Casey.
No.
And it's
no
eggnog.
Popsicles.
Rainbow popsicles.
Casey.
Ugh.
From the bottom of my
heart. Why is it orange,
though? Fuck you.
Why is it orange, though?
To warn you away from
it. I guess so. Like, it's like deer hunter orange.
This is threat level orange.
And all orange things are bad now. We know that. Including presidents. So we got a message. This is from Eric. And Eric sent this in, and Eric basically does freelance gigs in the Denver area as a pianist at Christian Science Church. And they were able to play the Glory Hole song. So I want to play.
This is great.
This is a very slow version. You got to think about who's that guy on the other side of the Glory Hole. Think about it in piano version. You can hear it if you listen to it. Thanks, Eric.
That's
really funny. Actually, to be honest, that is a very beautiful rendition of
it's certainly prettier than the original.
It certainly is. We got a message about the Walgreens pharmacy from Cassie, Tom.
Yeah, Cassie said that she works in the pharmacy field. And when you briefly ask about the story, you're incorrect. There's a law which states a pharmacist may turn someone away for any reason, ethical or professional. That is evidently the truth. And I don't doubt that. I just think that that's fucked up.
It's a weird rule.
That might be as a pharmacist, you may be protected by the law, but I don't think that you're ethically protected from your responsibility to do your fucking job at work.
Yeah.
Right. That's
I totally agree.
You don't have some special snowflake job.
I had the exact same feeling when that lady was turning people away for that Kim Davis. You know, she had an ethical thing that she wanted to do, you know, and she thought that was ethical. I thought it was unethical.
Right.
I think the exact same thing here. If somebody says, well, it's ethical for me to turn away somebody who wants the day after pill, I say that's unethical.
I think that set of rules is super fucked up, to be honest. Like, you know, it says in here, all they have to do is transfer the script or do nothing. You know, there's a lot of people who don't have transportation.
Yeah, well,
they have one pharmacy in their neighborhood.
Where are they going to
go? They don't have a fucking car. So now, like, I go to the doctor, the doctor says, you should take this medicine. And I go, and the guy who sells the medicine won't sell me the medicine. I basically no longer have access to the healthcare my doctor and I have decided is the best course of treatment for me because the fucking gatekeeper won't open the gate. I'm sorry, but fuck you. Open the fucking gate.
And I feel the same way. It was just like, you know, like what if your store and then all the stores in your city and then all the stores in your county don't offer it? How far does this person have to go before they're actually able to get the stuff that they need?
Well, and how many people like on the west side of Chicago would not have access to transportation to get to another pharmacy? You know, it's like, it's real easy for someone like me, right? Like, I've got four or five pharmacies within a 7-minute drive of my house.
Yeah.
So like, oh, we transfer the script down the road. It's just the worst it is a mild inconvenience for me, right? I hop in the car,
sure,
which I own. I drive to the other pharmacy, no problem. But how many people are like, they, you know, like they're not terribly mobile,
sure,
or they don't have the money to get to the next pharmacy, or they live in the fucking, in some rural backwater garbage part of America, or an urban backwater garbage part of America.
Yeah.
That's a huge number of people.
We're getting some calls to prayer, and this one is from Ben from Western Australia.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Allah.
Nicely done.
Great transition.
Very good. That one was really good. Tom, we got a message. This is from Dustin. And Dustin says, we were talking a while back about the kids in cages and things like that. And so he said, you know, I was looking at their, you know, the Republican Party, basically the preamble to the Republican Party on their website, just to see like, well, where do they stand on some of this stuff? On somewhere, what's their official platform? And I'm going to read this. It says, we believe America is exceptional because of our historic role, first as refuge, then as defender.
Refuge.
Refuge. It's right in there. It's literally right in
there. Just not for refugees.
No. All right. So we have two. Normally I don't play two, but we didn't get a lot of them this week. So this is from Leftover Hamsters. I got two in a row I'm going to play.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar.
I think we might have gotten something similar.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's the same one, but we might have gotten it before. But a good transition.
All though. That double pedal drum stuff sounds the same.
Sounds to me.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar.
Makes me want to wear fruit on my head.
I'll tell you that high-pitched sound, is that a person screaming?
Probably.
Oh, wow. Yeah. It's like the lady from the Fifth Element.
They're probably in a cage.
Got a message from Tucker, and Tucker said, the rule I was talking about last time was the fairness doctrine, which basically allowed, and this was when I was talking about how, you know, there used to be a rule that they took away, and it did actually get repealed during Reagan, where there was a rule that the FCC had that you had to give equal time to two different sides, so that if there was a Republican, you had to give equal time to a Democrat. That was the rule I was talking about. What I was thinking of maybe a modernization of that fairness doctrine, which would allow people to actually know that a news source is an actual news source, because we've come to a point now where that's easily obfuscated. And so we wanted, what we'd like to do is make sure that that wouldn't be a thing. But there was a couple of like the fairness doctrine, and there was another one that that also had sort of like, he said that there was a community service provision of a broadcast license that basically required TV and radio stations to do programming which could be said to provide a service to the community. So those, both of those things were removed,
right.
And it happened all around the same time as like the 24-hour news cycle started coming around and things like that. This is the last one. This is a call to prayer. This is from Davey from SoCal.
This is how we die.
Okay.
Oh God.
We are so gonna die. But that is fucking amazing. It's really, really good.
It's really good.
I will put this in the rotation, actually. I'm gonna put, because it's fucking really good. But we're gonna die from that.
I don't wanna die from that.
I'm gonna play it one more time.
I'm bringing my gun everywhere.
Jesus Christ. Especially it's the end. It's the racist end.
Oh my God.
So bad.
That's the worst.
Davey, you're going to get us killed. Thanks so much. We appreciate it. Please send in your calls to prayer.
And your bulletproof vest.
By the end of September, I will not be playing any more of these. So be sure to send in as
I'm going to have to live with a blast shield around me.
Basically. So next week, normal show, but we're still reminding people there are still general admission tickets, not Platinum Night or VIP tickets, but there are still general admission tickets available to the live show of Citation Needed here in Chicago. They're going fast. I mean, we might run out of them.
We very well might sell out.
It's a big theater, but we might sell out of them. They're relatively inexpensive, and we're going to be doing a thing afterwards. After we're done with the show, we're going to be heading on over across the street to hang out. So if you want to come see the show, you want to meet the Puzzle and Thunderstorm guys, you want to meet us, we're going to be doing it here in Chicago, August 11th, Victory Biograph Theater. We'll put link to the tickets in the show notes. The guys are hopefully going to be around in town, and we're going to try to do some sort of recording with them for this show while they're here. Not this week, but the following week should have something that we can, that will include everyone. We're going to see, maybe we can get everybody involved, the whole Puzzle and the Thunderstorm and us, maybe for a whole show. We'll see. But that's coming up in a couple of weeks, but be sure if you're going to go to the live show, now's your chance to get tickets. But that's going to wrap it up for this week. We're going to leave you like we always do with the Skeptic's Creed.
Credulity is not a virtue. It's fortune cookie cutter, mommy issue, hypno-Babylon bullshit. Couched in scientician, double bubble, toil and trouble, pseudo-quasi-alternative, acupunctuating, pressurized, stereogram, pyramidal, free energy, healing, water, downward spiral, brain deadpan, sales pitch, late night info-docutainment. Leo, Pisces, cancer cures, detox, reflex, foot massage, death in towers, tarot cards, psychic healing, crystal balls, Bigfoot, Yeti, aliens, churches, mosques, and synagogues, temples, dragons, giant worms, Atlantis, dolphins, truthers, birthers, witches, wizards, vaccine nuts, shaman healers, evangelists, conspiracy, doublespeak, stigmata, nonsense. Expose your signs. Thrust your hands, bloody, evidential, conclusive. Doubt even this.
The opinions and information provided on this podcast are intended for entertainment purposes only. All opinions are solely that of Glory Hole Studios, LLC. Cognitive Dissonance makes no representations as to accuracy, completeness, currentness, suitability, or validity of any information, and will not be liable for any errors, damages, or butthurt arising from consumption. All information is provided on an as-is basis. No refunds. Produced in association with the local Dairy Council and viewers like you.